Let's each pray to prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to learn His truth and tell Him you want to live in line with His truth. God, I thank You that You speak to us. I thank You that we can be in a right relationship with You, where You're willing to guide us and tell us the ways that we should live, the secrets to life. You're willing to care for us as a father loves his child and cares. So God, I pray that we would listen to You like that, not as a distant being that's imposing rules upon us or something like that, but as a good father teaching his children how to live right, that we would respond to You today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, all of you, at least adults, have at some time or another, I'm sure, called a company, like talked to a customer service person on the phone. You wanted them to refund you for something, or you wanted them to do some kind of a warranty. There was something that you wanted them to do for you. And there's likely been a moment where you were tempted to lie, to get what you wanted. I know I've had that experience dozens of times. So what do we do in that situation as God's people? Do we do what we think is going to get us what we want? Or do we do the ethical thing that we know the Lord would want? The message for today is, be careful what you want, and be careful how you go about getting it. Don't be willing to do something unethical to get it, because if you do, the Lord will not be on your side. It's better to do what the Lord wants you to do and trust Him to give you what He wants to give you, and to not have what He doesn't want us to have, even if we want it. Please open your Bible to the book of Hosea. One of the last couple times we'll be flipping there. Open your Bible about in half and then start flipping toward the back. Past Ezekiel and Daniel is the last one, and then you're in Hosea. Go to Hosea 12. We're going to cover the last verse of 11 also, but Hosea chapter 12. So at the time of Hosea, the people of Israel, who were supposed to be the Lord's people, were not actually following the Lord and His ways. And today we're going to see yet another way that they were not following the Lord's ways. But last Sunday, Matt pointed out through chapter 11 how the Lord is a loving Father. And so the Lord would have rather had them turn away from their sin and turn back to Him instead of Him having to punish them. But they wouldn't turn. And so He was going to punish them. And the transitional verse at the end of chapter 11 suggests that it wasn't just the northern kingdom of Israel, it was also the southern kingdom, which was astray from God and His ways. Please look at chapter 12. Verses 1 through 8 while I read. Ephraim feeds on wind and pursues the east wind continually. He multiplies lies and violence. Moreover, he makes a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord also has a dispute with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he took his brother by the heel, and in his maturity, he contends with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his name. Therefore, return to your God. Observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. A merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress And Ephraim said, surely I have become rich and I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they will find no iniquity in me, which would be sin. So in verse 1, he pictures here, he talks about the east wind. And in Palestine, apparently this east wind is not only a strong wind, it's a destructive, dangerous wind. And so this pictures Israel trying to manage something, to get their arms around something that's like wind, right? You can't get your hands around wind or manage it. And that's what they were trying to do. Also, not only was it difficult to manage, it was dangerous. Here it mentions their dealings with Assyria and Egypt, which were their neighboring countries of Israel. And what they were trying to manage was dangerous political situation and also economic dealings that they were doing with their neighboring countries. The people of Israel were trying to take care of themselves apart from the Lord by doing things politically and by doing things economically. And this was going to bite them. In working with these other nations, as well as it seems in working with each other within Israel, they were compromising morals that the Lord had taught them. They multiplied lies and violence, it says. For us, we shouldn't try to prosper ourselves apart from the Lord. And we, the Lord's people, shouldn't be willing to do things that are against what the Lord teaches us in order to prosper ourselves. And so Hosea brought up Israel's forefather, Jacob, as an illustration of this, as an example. The Lord, through Hosea, was accusing Israel of trying to get ahead at all costs and that they were ignoring the Lord and His ways. And so he compared that he brings up their forefather, Jacob, who was actually, his name was changed to Israel. So this would have been like a hero of theirs, right? This is like the founder of the nation of Israel. And he points to this forefather as an example of what they're like, but also he's a little different. In the womb, he brings up that Jacob was, when he was in the womb with his twin brother, he tried to grab at his heel, which presumably was like to hold him back. Jacob wanted to be the firstborn, and so he tried to hold his brother back. This may be a picture of a man who strived to get ahead at all costs, even from the womb, trying to hold his brother back and get born first. Well, he wasn't successful at that, and so not being the firstborn, he still wanted those firstborn blessings. And so later on, he tricked his dad into giving him, Jacob, the firstborn blessings that belonged to his brother. So we can kind of see this bad side of him, this trickery of trying to get ahead. The nature of Jacob even showed up in his relationship with God as an adult. He points out him wrestling with God, with the angel of the Lord, trying to get the Lord to bless him. He wouldn't let go of the angel of the Lord until he blessed him. Well, the Lord did bless him. The Lord promised the land of Canaan to his descendants. This good land that Israel was sitting in at the moment that they were hearing these prophecies had been promised to Jacob as a blessing. So here's what I think this points to, bringing up Jacob's history. Jacob wanted to get ahead. Jacob wanted to be blessed. He didn't always go about it in the best ways. As a matter of fact, he was kind of a mess. And I think this is good news for us because we're a mess. Like even us who are trying to follow the Lord, like we mess up and we keep finding things wrong with us. Like even last night, I was just taking a break from my work and I was walking around totally out of context. God just brings to me this thing that I did again yesterday that I've been doing for 15 years that he shows me for the very first time, like, that's wrong, Christian. And I had to call my kids and apologize for setting a bad example for them for 15 years in this thing. I'm always trying to follow the Lord. I want to do what's right in the Lord's sight, but I'm always finding stuff wrong with me. And so I think this is good news that even somebody who, you know, we might consider a hero, Israel, Jacob, he was a mess. Well, the people of Israel were like their forefather in that, and that they were trying to get ahead, they were trying to be prosperous, and they were not doing it in right ways, like their forefather Jacob had not always done it in right ways. But here's the difference. Jacob, at least eventually, turned to the Lord, and he sought his blessing from the Lord. And despite Jacob's faults, the Lord did bless him. Again, I think this is good news for us, is because we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be trying to follow the Lord, trying to do things His way. And when we're shown that we're going the wrong way, make it right. Come back to the Lord. Give ourselves to Him again. Well, Israel was not seeking their prosperity and their blessing from the Lord, and they would not turn back to Him. And that's the reason for the call to Israel in verse 6. Therefore, return to your God. Hold fast to His kindness and justice, and wait for God continually. I think this is kind of the crux verse. I see three phrases there, and I think there's three things to pay attention to there in verse 6. He says first, therefore, return to your God. We always have opportunity when we're messing up, when we're moving away from the Lord, when we're in sin. God is gracious, and He always gives us the opportunity to just come back to Him. And then if we come back to Him, we should do things His ways. He says, hold fast to kindness and justice. Israel was not doing that. They were being unfair. They were cheating people. The opposite of kindness and justice. So if they were to come back to the Lord, then coming back to Him entails doing things differently, doing things His ways, not just doing whatever to get ahead. And then notice these words. It said they needed to wait for God continually. That phrase seems to refer to letting God give them whatever He wanted to give them in His time. I think this is a powerful lesson that we shouldn't miss. Most of us want to be prosperous. Most of us want to be blessed. We need to be careful about seeking that in our own ways, specifically doing things that are against the morality that God teaches us. Instead, we need to stick to God, turn to Him, and then behave in His ways. Treat people the ways the Lord wants us to treat them. And allow the Lord to give us what He wants to give us in the time that He wants to give it to us, and be satisfied with whatever that is. 1 Timothy 6, verses 8 through 11 reads, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be satisfied. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing after it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Pursue the things that God says are good. And let Him give you what He wants to give you. Let Him take care of you and be satisfied with that. In Hosea, verse 7 points to how Israel was trying to get ahead in dishonest ways. Merchants in the market would have had scales, which they would weigh their goods that they're going to give you, and they might also weigh goods that you were going to trade with them. And so a merchant might have a false scale. They told you the wrong thing so that it benefited them in the transaction. It was deceiving. And Hosea uses that to represent Israel's unethical economic dealings. For us, there are things that we can do in our vocations that may get us ahead, that may make us more money. But if they are wrong according to the Lord, lying, deceiving, falsifying, cheating, then we, the Lord's people, should be unwilling to do those things, even if it might get us ahead. And not only in our jobs, but on a daily basis, we deal with merchant type things, right? We go out shopping, we talk to customer service people, those types of things in our personal lives. And so in doing those things, we need to behave the ways that the Lord wants us to behave. Like when we're dealing with a customer service person on the phone, trying to get them to do something for us, trying to get them to do something our way, we may be tempted to lie. We may be tempted to yell at them, berate them, treat them poorly, because we think it might get us what we want. But we shouldn't be willing to do those sorts of things. And if we don't get what we want, even if the company or the person does us wrong, but we handle ourselves right before the Lord, then we win. We win because we're trusting the Lord. Let Him bless us how He might choose to bless us for our faithfulness to Him. It's going to be better than getting what we want. Verse 8 points to the people thinking that they could get their way with their wicked practices, and they could become rich, and no one would find out about their sinful ways that they'd gone about doing their business. But the Lord saw. The Lord knew. He always sees, He always knows, and the Lord was going to punish them. The Lord was going to take Israel out of their comfort and their prosperity that they were trying to grasp onto. Look at verses 9 through 11 while I read. But I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again as in the days of the appointed festival. I have also spoken to the prophets. I gave numerous visions, and through the prophets I gave parables. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are worthless. In Gilgal they sacrifice bulls. Yes, their altars are like the stone heaps besides the furrows of the field. So the Lord is by these like metaphors, picturing what He's going to do to them. One of the pictures is they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. They were in the desert. And the Lord's picturing like, I'm going to send you back to that. You got to come into this good land and be blessed here, and you blew it. You sought other ways to try to be prosperous, so I'm going to send you back out to the desert, which where they were living in tents. And then there's another metaphor here of like a field where you're trying to grow crops and there's big stones piled up all over it. Not good for crops, right? And so he's picturing that he's going to destroy their prosperity. They had plenty of warnings. How? Through the prophets. But they would not receive the warnings and turn back to the Lord and turn back to His ways. They just kept up their immoral behavior no matter God sending them messengers. And so there was no doubt of their guilt. In verse 12, Hosea goes back to their forefather, Jacob, as an illustration. Look at verses 12 and 13 while I read. Now Jacob fled to Aram, and Israel worked for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. But by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel from Egypt, and by a prophet he was kept. So this alludes to a time later in Jacob's life than what we were talking about before. He was going to suffer some of the consequences of his own trickery, and he was going to get tricked, but he was following the Lord now. So Jacob went to Aram, and he found this woman that he was interested in, and he wanted to marry her. So his father said, you have to work for me. So he worked for the father for 14 years to like earn the bride that he wanted. Well, during that whole time, all he'd earned was the right to marry this woman. So he had nothing. So he agreed, and he worked 6 more years for the dad and made an arrangement where he earned part of the flocks of this father, which his name was Laban. And at the end of it, Jacob said Laban had been cheating him. 10 times Laban had changed his wages during the time that he'd been keeping his flocks. And yet, even though Laban had been cheating him, Jacob gained a huge flock. And he gave credit to God for giving it to him, for looking out for him. Jacob claimed, in fact, that Laban's livestock had been taken away from Laban and given to Jacob by God. So here's how I see that fitting the context of Hosea. Hosea was accusing Israel of unethical things in order to prosper, rather than trusting God to give them what he wanted to give them. And they were going to be punished for it. Well, Laban, in this case, was the one who had done unethical things. And what happened to him? He didn't gain. He lost. Jacob, on the other hand, was God was looking out for him. And in a sense, against all odds, Jacob prospered. So which way do you want to live? Trying to get ahead by unethical ways and not having the Lord on your side? Maybe even against you? Or trusting God, doing things His ways, and letting Him give you what He wants to give you? In verse 13, Hosea recalls a different event in Israel's history, one he's recalled many times, and that's when the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. That was a good thing that God did for Israel. He's reminding them of the kindness that He showed them. But how Israel was brought out of Egypt and how Israel was protected in the desert journey coming out of Egypt is emphasized here. By a prophet is how. That prophet was Moses, but Hosea doesn't name Moses because he's not trying to focus on Moses. He's trying to focus on the fact that it was a prophet that God used to bring His goodness. It was a prophet that God used to care for His people. On bringing them out of Egypt, He used a prophet. And in their desert journey, He used a prophet. A prophet is somebody who speaks for God generally. God's giving them a message to speak to people. In the case of Moses, it wasn't even just speaking, it was all leadership of them. God was leading His people through a man. And in the days of Hosea, the Lord wanted Israel to turn back to Him, to follow His ways. And the Lord would take care of them, as He had their ancestors so many times. And so Hosea was trying to point out, hey, God's doing it the way that He typically does. God is speaking to you through a man, me. God is wanting you to turn back to Him and bring His goodness into your life like He has so often in the past with Israel. But you need to listen to me. You need to trust that it's the Lord speaking through me. Because heeding the prophet's message was Israel's way back to the care and protection of the Lord. For us, when you hear God's message, it's an opportunity. You might hear it through a preacher. You might hear it through the men that wrote the Bible and you're able to sit and read it. You might hear it through your brothers and sisters in Christ that are trying to point you to God's ways. When you hear God's message, it's an opportunity. The reason I say that is because a lot of times when we think about hearing from God, especially if we're in sin or we're going the wrong way, we're doing something wrong, we think, I don't want to hear that. Or, man, that's going to require me to change and that's going to be difficult to change. And so we view that message as like a negative thing. It's not. It's an opportunity. Because things have been going the wrong way. Things are going to go badly. If you're in sin and the message calls you away from sin, heed the message. If you're going a bad way, stop going the way that you've been going and turn back to the Lord and His ways. It's the way back to the Lord's protection, His care, His goodness. Today, is there something for you to heed that you're hearing in the message? When we don't heed the Lord's word, there are consequences. Israel would not listen to the prophets, and they were going to be punished. Verse 14 reads, Ephraim has provoked, that's the Lord, to bitter anger. So his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and will repay him for his disgraceful deeds. Notice this little subtlety here. Will leave his blood guilt on him. So it's not that the Lord is putting something on him that doesn't belong to him. He's guilty. He already has guilt on him, or Israel, the people of Israel, have on them the guilt that belongs to them. And the Lord is just leaving it on them because they won't turn to him. Implied is, if they would turn to him, he would remove it from them. He would remove their guilt from them and show them kindness instead, but they won't turn to him. And so he's going to leave their guilt on them for their disgraceful deeds. We've studied a lot about Israel's punishment in the book of Hosea. Chapter 13 is mostly about Israel's punishment, and I don't feel like I should prolong it by spending another week on chapter 13. So I'm going to do chapter 13 right now. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the whole thing right now. I'm going to make a couple points from the text, and then we're going to call it good for covering chapter 13. But don't check out yet, okay, because there are some points here for us. But please look at chapter 13 while I read. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel. But through Baal, he did wrong and died. And now they sin more and more and make for themselves molten images, idols skillfully made from silver, all of them the works of a craftsman. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they will be like the morning cloud and like the dew which soon disappears, like chaff which is blown away from the threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you were not to know any God except me, for there is no Savior besides me. I cared for you in the wilderness and the land of drought. But then they had their pasture, and they became filled. And being filled, their hearts became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. So I will be like a lion to them, like a leopard. I will lie in wait by the wayside. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear their chest open. There I will also devour them like a lioness, like a wild beast. I will tear them. It is your destruction, O Israel, that you are against me, against the one who has been your help. Where now is your king that you may save, that he may save all your cities and your judges and those whom you requested? Give me a king and princes. I gave you a king in my anger, and I took them away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The pains of childbirth come upon him. He is not a wise son. For it is not the time that he should delay at the opening of the womb. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion will be hidden from my sight. Though he flourishes among the reeds, an east wind will come. The wind of the Lord coming up from the wilderness, and his fountain will become dry, and his spring will be dried up. I will plunder his treasures and every precious article. Samaria will be held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword. Their little ones will be dashed to pieces, and their pregnant women will be ripped open. Ooh. The overall theme is clear, which I'll come back to in a moment, but I want to point out one more lesson that's a two-part thing that I think we should learn here. It's kind of two sides of an issue. Here it is. One, be careful what you want. Be careful what you want specifically that it's not going against what the Lord wants for you. And two, be careful of prosperity. Be careful of prosperity specifically that wanting it or having it doesn't turn you away from the Lord. Here's how I see those things in the text. The Lord was supposed to be Israel's king. when he brought them out of Egypt and brought them into this land, he set up himself as the government. He gave them the law that was not just religious law, but it was also like government laws like we have. He was supposed to be their king. God was. But Israel wanted a human king like all the other nations around them. We want to be like them. And so the Lord gave them what they wanted. And if you've read the Old Testament, it didn't turn out well for them. Most of their kings led them into idolatry, and their kings couldn't take care of them like the Lord could. Nobody can take care of us like the Lord can, even ourselves, even though we try to. Be careful what you want, specifically that it's not against what the Lord wants for you. The Lord may give it to you. He may allow you to have it, and it may be awful. Just like the king's situation was for Israel. Another thing that's in here is the Lord gave Israel a good land where he prospered them. And what happened? They became filled, they became proud, and they forgot the Lord. Be careful of prosperity. It's not that prosperity in and of itself is bad, because the Lord prospered Israel. He's the one that gave them the good land. He's the one that prospered them in the land. But it was tied to Him, the Lord. The problem with prosperity is when it takes us away from the Lord. So be careful of prosperity, specifically that wanting it or having it doesn't turn you away from depending on the Lord. Well, the main message of chapter 13 is clear. The Lord was going to punish Israel harshly. And some might wonder, why would God be so harsh? But notice that they deserved it. He said, they sin more and more. And that was in the face of the Lord taking good care of them, the Lord prospering them, the Lord giving them everything that they needed, and yet they turned against Him. They rebelled against Him. So let me give you a couple analogies to think about that, like so that we don't think the Lord is unjustly harsh. So we've all, I'm sure, watched the news, and we've seen somebody who's been arrested for doing something just hideous, and we've said out loud or had the thought, that person should spend the rest of their life in jail. Or maybe even worse, that person should get the death penalty or whatever it is. Because we see how horrible their crime is, we recognize they deserve punishment. Well, Israel had done that. Israel had done awful things. They were cheating and murdering and stealing and being just awful to one another for long periods of time. And not only that, but the Lord in the midst of it was calling them back and saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. And so I might give another analogy, which I think is more the analogy of the text, which is a father and a child. A father that the child is repeatedly doing just horrible sin, completely rebelling, not doing anything that the parent wants, and yet the parent keeps saying, stop it, come back, do what I want you to do, and the child just will not do it. Does that child deserve punishment? Yeah. Just this last week, I had a situation like this. One of my kids, he was lying to me. I knew he was lying. I had a strong suspicion he was lying to me. And I said, tell me the truth. And he told me the same lie again, right to my face. And I said, tell me the truth. I don't think that's the truth. And he told me again 5 times. I said, tell me the truth. And he lied to my face again. And I walked away and I said, I'm going to go find out. And he chases me. Well, I walked away and I said, here's going to be your punishment when I find out, because I am going to find out. And he comes running after me and he goes, no, I did that. And I said, it's too late. 5 times you stood and lied to my face. You had a lot of chances. Now, it's a little bit different because he finally did come and repent. But Israel wouldn't ever, despite prophet after prophet coming to them and saying, stop it, repent. They just wouldn't. So they deserved their punishment. And so again, I say to us, when you hear God's message, It's an opportunity. If you're headed a bad way, like wanting something that the Lord doesn't want for you, or getting caught up in prosperity and forsaking the Lord because of it, stop the way that you've been going and turn back to the Lord and His ways. Let the Lord be the one that takes care of you. Don't be willing to do something unethical to get what you want. If you do, the Lord won't be on your side. It's better to do what the Lord wants you to do and trust Him to give you what He wants to give you, and even to not have what you thought you wanted if the Lord doesn't think that it's the right thing for you to have. Follow the Lord's ways and be satisfied. Be satisfied with what He gives you, but even more importantly than that, be satisfied that you're in right standing with the Lord. That is the most important thing. That is the place, that is the position to be in, to have the chance to have the Lord's goodness to come into our lives, is to be willing to be in right standing with God, be in right relationship with God. Let's each pray and listen to apply what we learned today. Will you listen to God if He's speaking through this message? What did you hear today that you need to heed? If you've been doing something wrong or headed a wrong way, would you confess that to the Lord and tell Him you don't want to go that way anymore, you want to turn back to Him? And will you tell the Lord you trust Him to give you what He wants to give you, and you'll be satisfied? Lord Jesus, thank You for making it possible for us to have a relationship with the God of the universe, with our Creator, and that now in Christ we can call God our Father. And Father, I thank You for the blessings that You bestow on us who are in Christ, all the goodness that You have available for us. I pray that we would draw into You, we would follow You, just to know You and just to get the privilege of being in relationship with God, but also, I trust, because I've seen it myself and I know many others that testify to it, that when we're in right relationship with You, right standing with You, Your goodness flows into our lives. Thank You for that. This has all been made possible by Christ, and so we pray in His name. And all those who agreed said, Amen.